We are called into this place, this gathered community, seeking the comfort of connection. We are called into this time of worship and of grace, drawn by the peace of this sacred space. We are called into this holy place, this place of sanctuary and of fellowship, called to honor the deepest yearnings of our spirits. May this time of worship be a time of peace for us all, amidst lives that so often overflow with stress and worry. May this holy sanctuary be a place of respite from our troubles, if only for this hour. And may we go forward from this place, knowing that our concerns and our struggles are known and held and blessed. So let us worship together. Welcome. When we gather together, we kindle our chalice flame, the symbol of our Unitarian Universalist faith. I invite you now to read together the words printed in your order of service as we light our flame. Each morning, we must hold out the chalice of our lives to give, to receive, to carry back. We light the flaming chalice, symbol of our faith, as we bring joys and sorrows, gifts and needs to the home of our religious community.
Winds be still. Storm clouds pass and silence come. Peace grace this time with harmony. Light shine in, illuminate our inward view. Help us to see with clarity. Shine bright and true so we may join our songs in new sounds that become full symphony. I have a story for you with a couple of questions afterwards. And as we still have school vacation and not so many of our younger kids, some of you older kids may have to participate. Although I see a good group of youth up in the gallery, so that's great. Well, it's a story about a donkey. This farmer had a donkey, and one day on the farm, the donkey slipped and fell into a deep well. Well, the farmer and his friend tried everything they could think of, but they couldn't get him out. And the poor donkey was braying and shrieking and braying and shrieking in the bottom of the well. And the farmer and his friend kept trying, but they just couldn't put it together to be able to get him out of this deep hole in the ground. So eventually the donkey stopped making any noise. And the farmer thought, surely he's died. So he and his friend did the best they could, and they thought, well, we better bury him. So they started throwing dirt in the hole, and they kept shoveling and shoveling the dirt into the hole. And before too long, the farmer heard something in the bottom of the well. So he looked down in, and there was the donkey fairly close to the top, shaking off the dirt that the farmer had flown in. Each time they threw the shovel in, the donkey shook off the dirt. And what did he do? He stood on the dirt, and he came up a little bit higher up into the hole. So before long, the donkey was able to get himself out of the hole. Now, I want to know what you think the lessons of that. Have you ever been in a hole like that? Have you? Mm-hmm. So do anyone want to tell us what they think maybe one of the lessons, there's more than one, but one of the lessons of this story might be? Okay, up in the gallery. Either Olivia or Corinne, one of you go first. There's always hope. That's good message, yeah. Things that aren't expected, yeah. How about someone else? What about the shaking off the dirt part? Anyone? Oh, there were a lot more answers. Oh, up above. Yes.
Maybe at first you don't succeed, like,
Keep on trying. That's great. When life sends some challenges, sometimes you have to shake them off.
And sometimes you have to
take one step at a time to get out of that hole. Something like that. Huh? Make lemons out of lemonade. Okay. All right. Well, I think you got the idea. Hold on to the story. We'll keep working with it as we go through the service.
Blessed be. And I invite you now into a time of prayer, beginning with a sung prayer, 1009, in your teal hymnal, When I Breathe In. Spirit of life and love, who dwells among us and within us, even in the most challenging of times. Spirit of life, remind us of your presence today and each day that we find ourselves too absorbed in the stresses of our lives. Bring to us that deep calm, that peace beyond understanding, that will heal our hearts and calm our minds. Help us to remember, O Holy One, that we are more than our worries, more than our achievements, more than what we produce or win or gain. Remind us too of those words of the wise teacher Jesus when he reminded his disciples to take the time to consider the lilies, the birds, the fields. Make us present to the beauty and the holiness which is all around us. May we remember that we are called by our own highest selves to live in love, peace, and gratitude, even in times that these things seem to elude us. With each breath, may we inhale the peace that lives all around us. And with each breath, may we exhale love for the beauty of creation. May we be peace. May we be love. So may it be.
Well, as you figured out, today's service is talking about stress and anxiety in our lives. And one of the stresses I always have each year is how much to fill out my pledge card for. And one of the best ways to do it, as you'll hear from the sermon, is to face up and meet those stresses head on and get it done. So if you're feeling a little anxious today about that, one of the best ways to do it is to get it done. We've got about over half of our pledges in, and we would love to get the rest of them in. And as you know, in every service, we provide you with an opportunity for generosity. And, you know, in some churches and temples around this time, today you're going to hear a sermon, a little excerpt from the Sermon on the Mount. You might be getting the sermon on the amount. But we don't go there because we acknowledge that you need to consider all the matters in your life and come up with the amount that's appropriate for you, not what we think, but what you conclude is a generous contribution. So we invite you to do that. And also in our weekly offering, you know, each week we share our plate with others. So one half goes to support this church, and the other half this month goes to support part of the mission that we're reminded of with that banner that's hanging out in front of our church that says Black Lives Matter. This month we share our plate with two organizations within the Unitarian Universalist world that deal with racial justice and equality, DRUM and Allies for Racial Equality. So we invite you to be generous, and the morning offering will be gratefully accepted.
A reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 to 43. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet our heavenly Creator feeds them. Are you not of more worth than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they bloom. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed as one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will God not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? For indeed our heavenly Creator knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and for God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today.
Today's sermon will not focus on some ethical or moral issue of our time, as we so often do, as we did last week and we will next week. This is not a sermon about changing the world, as important as that is. It's not even about finding deep theological meaning in life's events. I do consider it a sermon about a certain kind of spiritual practice, but it's even more mundane than that description might imply. This is a sermon about simply coping with what is, dealing with the stress, the worry, the anxiety in each of our lives. Even in the best of times, there's always lots of things about which we might worry. But in these times of uncertainty, times when our government can't seem to come together on anything, times when war seems never-ending and rogue states are developing nuclear weapons and terrorist attacks on the rise, surely we are all anxious about our future. Well, my point's not to raise your level of stress this morning, but I think we have to start with an acknowledgement of these stresses. You know, ask yourself, do you find yourself worrying about things that you have little power to change? Are you focusing on what you can't get done rather than focusing on the task at hand? Do you feel just so overburdened that you're at the point where you don't know what to do next? At a certain level, we know that what Jesus said in his sermon that Eileen read to you is true. That worry won't help. It doesn't solve the problem. Certainly it doesn't add a single hour to our lifespan, as he mentioned. In fact, to the contrary, in our more scientific times, we now know it contributes to a shortening of our lives, to the developing of all kinds of medical problems that range from stomach ulcers and obesity to high blood pressure and cardiac disease. You've heard it before. Stress is a killer. So what do we do about it? Letting go of anxiety and worry is easier said than done. We need a coping mechanism, a process that can help us to let go of worry and deal constructively with tough things in our lives. I would say that it requires a spiritual practice. It might be a practice of meditation or prayer, in which at least for a time you free your mind of life's distractions. It might take the form of walking in the woods or even going to the gym. I even have a very well-dressed friend who used to say when she was feeling a lot of stress in her life, she would go buy shoes. I'm not sure that's particularly the best spiritual practice, but if it works, I guess. But there's also the practice where we look to sources of inspiration and advice and try to apply them to the issues of our lives. One of the texts that I have found helpful is that section on the Sermon on the Mount that Eileen read to you today. It's part of my spiritual practice to read that. And I know who Jesus was talking about. Me and those like me. I tend to run ahead of myself, worrying about what might go wrong. So I often have to remind myself of those words. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow's going to have enough worries of its own. Stick with today's. Now that doesn't mean don't plan for the future, but rather take it one step at a time. Resist anticipating problems that may not arise. More importantly, this reading always reminds me to stay close in touch with what grounds me, what's important to me. Jesus put it in the words, seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness. But what does that really mean? I don't interpret that as meaning seeking some distant afterlife place of bliss. In fact, Jesus himself said this kingdom was here among us. What it means for me is that focusing on the big picture, letting go of the details, will help us get through the difficult times. It means keeping your priorities straight. It means remembering who you are and what you value. You know, in my legal career, I represented lots of folks who were not really bad people. They just really lost track of who they were and what was really important to them. The lure of money or of a certain kind of acceptance had taken them so far off track that they fell into trouble with the law. They were no longer seeking this kingdom or righteousness. They had forgotten what was really important to them. They had lost sight of the real prize, chasing after some false one. Now, if you don't relate to that expression, the kingdom of God, you can express it as keeping your eye on the prize or sticking with what's important. In a nutshell, the passage means don't let worry cause you to lose sight of what is most important. I've witnessed the consuming and distracting power of worry and anxiety in so many places. Not long ago, I visited someone in the hospital whose very first words to me were, I'm so worried, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this treatment. I don't know if my insurance will cover it. At the very time when he should have been focusing on the bigger picture of his recovery, he was consumed with financial worries. I tried to tell him not to worry about it and think about getting well, but I knew what I was telling him wasn't easy, and I understood where he was coming from, because when I went through cancer treatment a few years ago, I had the same worries. Even with good insurance that the UUA provides, I got bills for deductibles and things not covered, and those added up to thousands of dollars. And before I went into the hospital, I called my insurance company to determine what out-of-pocket expenses, if any, there would be for me. The answer I received was, it entirely depends upon what code number your doctor puts on the form. Quote. Wasn't that helpful in relieving my anxiety? Numerous phone calls and research later led me to a conclusion that 90% of the cost of the procedure would be covered and that my out-of-pocket expenses would be capped at a certain dollar amount. But I was still uneasy about the conclusion, but I tried to let go of it and focus on my treatment and not how I'd pay for it. About 2 weeks after I got home from the hospital, I received a message on the phone machine. The insurance company had called about my coverage. Please call them. I called back, and I only got a recording several times. My anxiety grew. Had my doctor put the wrong code number on the form? Did I get the wrong information in my research and when I inquired? Well, it turns out my worries were for nothing, as the insurance company was calling to tell me that there was a nurse on call 24 hours a day if I was having any difficulty with my treatment. Of course, what I wanted to say was the only difficulty I was having with my treatment was their phone call, but I sure wish they just left that information on the phone. It would have saved me a lot of worry. We worry about financial matters. We worry about our kids, especially our teenagers. And if we're teenagers, what do we worry about? We worry about school. We worry about getting into college. We worry about social acceptance, right? We worry about our health, especially those of us who've had cancer or other serious illnesses. I know that experience of every six-month checkup with the oncologist. My anxiety level is up for weeks before I go. We worry about our elder parents. We worry about our relationships with our spouses or partners. And then there's the societal worries, the worries about ISIS and terrorist attacks and whether our water or food is safe. The list goes on. The truth is, most of us have plenty that we could worry about. But worrying weighs us down, sometimes even immobilizes us, often causes us to be unable to focus on the wonder and the task of this day. We may ask ourselves, how do the things we need to do, how do we do them when the pressure of the world situation or our personal situation is just piling on us? Well, let's go back to the story of the poor donkey that fell into the well. I think that donkey could offer us some good advice. Now, I doubt that the donkey read the Sermon on the Mount, but somehow he got the message. Let go of the anxiety, stop braying in the bottom of the well, and connect with what's most important. When you do, you'll focus on the problem of that moment and address it without being consumed by the overarching fear or anxiety of the situation. You'll do what needs to be done. Yes, the world can continue to shovel dirt on you, shake it off, stand on it, take one step at a time, and the seemingly impossible climb out of the hole becomes possible. Well, here you have it. Advice from Jesus and from, I guess I'll say, a donkey. Take it from whatever source you choose. Life's pointers come to us from all sorts of places. And that brings me to some advice I read a few years ago. Now, it seems if you go on one of these whitewater rafting excursions, I think some of you have been on them, particularly on the powerful rivers in the northwestern part of our country, some guides actually require that you memorize four rules before they'll let you on the raft. And I find the rules that the rafters were forced to memorize apply pretty well to our daily lives with all their stress-filled times. So get your memory sharpened. Here are the four rules for whitewater rafting that the guide teaches and requires that are memorized. One, rest in the calm spots because there's always more rapids ahead. Two, when you're heading for a rock, lean into the rock rather than away from it. Three, never stop paddling. Four, let go of everything but your life jacket if you fall into the water. Now, it's interesting to me that the list starts with resting. It's easy to forget the importance of this rule. It takes strength to deal with adversity, whether it's physical strength required to negotiate the river's rapids or the emotional strength necessary to overcome the stress in our lives. Both require a rested body and mind. Find time to rest and charge your batteries. Do the things that revive your spirit. You know, preachers preach sermons they need to hear. I often find it difficult to take my day off. If I stay at home, I'll go to my study, start answering emails, or working on the next sermon. For some reason, this church does not stop for my day off. So that's why I often go out of town. It helps me to rest. And I usually come back with new energy and, if lucky, some new perspective. The second rule instructs us to lean into the rocks rather than away from them. It reminds us that we have to honestly face our problems, confront them. So often, people will come to me and say, I'm so anxious and stressed, but I just don't know why. And often, after a few questions about what's going on in their life, they articulate the reason for their stress. And just speaking its name can be liberating. More importantly, you can then begin to focus on how to address it. Yes, engaging in avoidance, which we all do it sometimes, and that can sometimes at least put a problem on hold. But in the back of our mind, the worry continues. Maybe avoidance is all we can do for a moment, but we know that over time it doesn't really help. In fact, often when we avoid facing a problem, it can even become bigger. Leaning into the problem rather than away from it is the first step towards solving it. Brings us to rule 3. Never stop paddling. It reminds us not to let our fears or anxiety immobilize us. The river of life continues to move, and to stay on course, you have to paddle. In difficult times, the weight of anxiety upon us becomes so heavy that it seems impossible to move. It's all about taking the first step. Each step becomes easier. As the donkey knows, life is a journey of one step at a time. There's no standing still. Consistently and methodically moving forward is the way we need to live our lives. And rule 4 applies to the times when things get pretty bad. Here, the instructor gives essentially the same advice that Jesus did. Get rid of everything except what is essential. Don't worry about your clothes or what you'll eat. Just grab onto the thing that will keep you afloat, your life preserver. Now, a life preserver can be many things. It could be your faith, your principles, your community, your family. These are the things to hold on to when you're in tough times. Focus on the important things, and the rest will work itself out. You know, knowing that the economy is bad and that your company is having financial troubles doesn't make losing your job easier. Knowing that a relationship is not going well doesn't make separation easier. Knowing that a loved one is seriously ill doesn't really make death easier. Such traumatic events can give rise to immobilizing anxiety. We can be consumed by our worry, diverted from the important things in our lives, angry, depressed. Yet while still honoring our feelings, we can go beyond the debilitating effects of that kind of anxiety. It's not a new problem. You know that sermon that Eileen read to you that Jesus gave? He delivered that to his disciples who would face great adversity. And no doubt, I'm sure, they were stressed out people. And what many consider to be his principal message to them, I've been always amazed that he chose to spend a significant portion of that text talking about worrying and anxiety. Well, what a conglomeration. Teachings of Jesus, a donkey, and a whitewater rafting instructor. It's what we do, isn't it, as you use? But boy, they do have a lot in common. Each tells us to continue to move forward one step at a time, shaking off the daily worries as best we can. Don't stop paddling. Each story reminds us not to lose sight of what's important to us, to get rid of some of the clutter in your life and hold on to what's essential. That which will hold you up when the waters of anxiety, fear, or anger are ready to drown you. letting go of your burdens and considering those lilies of the field that neither toil nor spin is not easy. The burden of trying to make it all turn out the exact way you had planned is huge and impossible. Cut yourself some slack. Lay down some of the burdens. I'm not saying be irresponsible or in denial. Of course, engage the issues you face. But try to let go of some of the anxiety and worry. Put things in perspective. Look at the beauty and the blessings around you. You know, some of the happiest people I know are people who live very simple lives. Take care of yourself and find the calm spots in the river. Celebrate the beauty of each day. It's a gift. Don't miss it. Don't let worry blind you to the beauty around you. Look at those lilies of the field. I was thinking about them when I saw the flowers this morning. When times are tough, we often need to follow the advice offered in these stories. But we often can't do it alone. We often need the support of others. And there's no better place to find it than right here. We need one another to reach out when folks are having difficult times, maybe to paddle a couple of strokes with us to help us shake off some of the dirt. And if you need some help, please don't be afraid to ask. Ask me, ask Eileen, ask a trusted friend. There are rocks in the river of life, and they form rapids of stress and anxiety, and we have to negotiate them. These can cause us a lot of anxiety, but we can do things to move beyond the worry and the stress. We do not have to be consumed by the worries. We can engage with them without letting them own us. We can lay down our burden and smell the roses and feel the love and know the joy of life, even in the midst of challenging times. It's not easy, but it's possible. Today's message is just practical advice. Maybe, just maybe, it can save a life and keep you from shutting out the joy of living when times are a bit tough. So this week, I invite you to give it a try. Try to apply some of those rules in the places in your life where you're most anxious. My experience is that when I do, life, in fact, does become sweeter. And I rediscover the beauty, the joy, and even the love that I was blocking out. I'm certain that the same can be true for you.